Father, we just thank you tonight for the word, the teaching that's going to go forth. I thank you for the people who came out to receive. I thank you, Father God, that the word's already anointed. Now I want you to open up the spiritual ears so that they can hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father God, open up the spiritual eyes so they can see what you're trying to tell them. And Father, we just thank you for it in my name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about guarding your gifts and your talents. I don't say the word right, but it's T-A-L-E-N-T-S for the radio, okay, or website. All right. God said, don't forget your giftings and talents because I am breathing life on them. Now, whatever giftings we've had and we've left sort of slip away, that God never takes them, we have to let them slip away. God is now going to breathe new life on them. The church's potency and influence is contingent on the children of God operating in the full potential of their giftings and talents that God has endowed them with. Thus, the whole church is contingent on us using our gifts. All right? By the same token, the church will remain weak and ineffective if God's people are discouraged, unintentional, without deliberate intent, and poor stewards of their giftings and talents. Now, I'm going to tell you, with myself, God has greatly gifted me and gave me a lot of talents, but whenever I went into my state of whatever I went into, I told God, I don't want to be used in that area anymore. And so then, you know, God is faithful. He never comes against our will. And so he quit using me. And then whenever I got myself together, I said, all right, God, I'm ready now to be used. Now I had to work at getting those gifts restored and in perfect operation. So whatever you had, and see, now I let the devil tell me that I wasn't fit to minister. I hadn't done anything wrong, but I was walking in some hurt from what other people had done to me. But the devil kept telling me, you're not fit to lay hands on people because you're hurt, and you're not fit to raise the dead or pray for healing because, after all, look, you're not healed inwardly yourself. And, you know, he goes on and on and on, and I believed his lies. All right? So don't believe his lies because that's not true. All right, by the same token, the church will remain weak and ineffective if God's people are discouraged, unintentional, in words, without deliberate intent, and poor stewards of their giftings and talents. Moses is one person the enemy tried to quench, nullify, and forfeit his giftings and talents. Acts 7:20 says, at this time Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Moses lost his mighty words and deeds along the line. Moses grew up in mighty, he grew up in mighty words and deeds. That was his testimony. That was who he was. He was confident, articulate, eloquent, a great communicator, and strong physically. This is who Moses was. It is amazing that the same Moses, years later, when God called him, would repeatedly give excuses for the same qualities and giftings that God had given him. He was about 40 years old when he struck down the Egyptian and had to flee to Midian. He became an escapee, right? On the run. Acts 7:23. Now when Moses was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brethren, why do you wrong one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? See how people will do to you. Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And when 40 years had passed, so all you guys were sitting around waiting for God to use you. Moses had to wait 40 years, all right? And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Moses, in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight, and as he drew near to observe the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not look. Then the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. God sending him back to his people who ridiculed him, all right, at 40 years earlier. So for the next 40 years, he was a shepherd in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. And then the Lord encountered him powerfully in the burning bush. We just read that. A long time had passed since Moses was mighty in words and deeds. 40 years. We are about to see how far Moses had departed from an eloquent, mighty man to an insecure, stuttering shepherd in the wilderness. Do you know the devil can do that to you? He can strip you down naked, the devil can, and leave you absolutely with nothing. Moses' excuses and insecurities. When God called Moses to deliver his people from Pharaoh, Moses would give these excuses. In Exodus 3:11, it says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? I've said that to God. Think about it. What have you said to God? Exodus 3:13, what shall I say to them? I've said that. What have you said? Exodus 4:1, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. We've all said that. Exodus 4:10, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I've often told God, I don't have charisma. Brett does, right? Exodus 4:13, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. See, he's saying, God, send somebody else, not me, because I just can't do this thing. How many of you sitting here tonight, because of what you perceive that you are, you said, God, don't send me, send somebody else because I'm just not good enough to do this. That's a lie. If God's asking you to do it, you're good enough to do it. Whatever you've done is in your past. You've asked God to forgive you. You've repented. It's over with. And you have to move on. This is why we have to live holy all the time, because then the devil can't use our past against us, right? He can't put us on guilt trips all the time. All right, so God restored Moses' voice. Watch how the Lord began to breathe life to the very giftings that had become dead and buried, resurrecting his hope and confidence, bringing vision to his disillusionment and speaking promise into his prophetic destiny. We're talking about what God does for Moses. God was speaking directly to the very places of strength that had become his weaknesses in Moses' life. God was building up this man of God again. And this is what he's restoring us again. He's building us up again. So it doesn't matter how much the enemy's torn us down and how much the enemy tried to make us believe that we can't use the gifts that God gave us. God is restoring once again. He was restoring the power of Moses' voice. All right. Exodus 3:14 said, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the afflictions of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites. All these ites, all right? To a land flowing with milk and honey. Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come. You and the elders of Israel to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, in Exodus 4:12, now therefore go, I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. See what he said to Moses in Moses 4:12, now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. I want to encourage each one of you in here, this called of God, to go and do anything for God. You don't have to sit and worry about what you're going to say or how you're going to say it. You just need to, when God's called you to go, just go. God will speak through you. And that is the absolute truth. I know when I go out in the evangelistic field, I'll sit for hours getting a message together. And when I get up the pulpit, it stays here. And I go down and walk among the people and God just takes over. All right. So you see, I didn't have to prepare. I just feel like I always have to, because God said, he told me, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you all the days that you walk with me. So everything God has done to everything God has done for Moses, God has promised to do for me. So if he told Moses, I'm going to speak through your mouth, then he's going to speak through mine. You understand this? See, this is why you have to have a right relationship with the Father, a speaking relationship with the Father, a hearing relationship with the Father, because he will speak to you and tell you what he's going to do with you and how he's going to do it. And so therefore, when he sends you forth, you don't have to be concerned how you're going to do things, because God's already told you what's going to happen. All right. God restored Moses' mighty deeds. Exodus 4:2. So the Lord said to Moses, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. The reason why I pray every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob over this congregation is because God gave me a promise when I first started. All the blessings of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob will always be upon this church. I will never remove them. So I think we walk under a wonderful covenant with the Father. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. When he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe, even those two signs, God's going to give them two signs, all right? Or listen to your voice, that you shall take, no, can't, where am I at here? It shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. Exodus 4:17, and you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. How many times has God spoke to people and said, I'm giving you my scepter? He's giving you the same rod that he gave Moses to do the signs, wonders, and miracles with, and to go forth and operate in his authority. Prophetic significance. The Lord expects us to put our giftings and talents to work, not just to impact the church, but to impact the world and the marketplace. I know people that used to, when I first started, they were there too. And they used to go out in the restaurants and stuff, and they used to prophesy and do all kind of things, lay hands on the sick. And now they're sitting in their houses crying and moaning and groaning like little children, because they've allowed the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. They allowed the enemy to take their confidence and everything they had away from them. So I'm asking each one of you in here tonight to not allow the enemy to do that to you. Do not allow the enemy to take your confidence away. Do not allow him to take your gifting away. You tell him where he's at and where is he at under your feet. He's defeated. He's not the victorious one. And then you go forth and you do the great mighty works God's calling you forth to do. Just as Moses gave that, God gave Moses that rod, and that was what God was going to use. You know, you all know the story of the rock. You know, I got it out of my yard and I was going to be try to do the hype thing, you know, and I was giving my message and I was going to jump on that rock, but I used to wear high heels, and I brought the rock in the house and I looked at it and I thought, if I jump on that with my heels, they might slide and I fall off of it and that would be a mess. So I thought, I won't do that. But after I gave the service, God said, have the people come up and stand on the rock. And I thought, isn't that dumb? So I said, God just told y'all to come up and get in line and stand on the rock. So they were always obedient to what I said, because they knew I followed God. And they got on that rock and couldn't get off. And this one man, until God released this one man, said, that's not God. You're just putting that on. So he got on that rock and God just made him stand there. He couldn't get off that. But just a simple little rock out of my garden. But look how mightily God used it. And that's what I always keep it in the church, because we've used it here, and God has done great things to that rock that he anointed to rock. God will anoint anything to accomplish his purpose in his kingdom. All right, so don't, if God tells you to do something, don't get upset about it. Just go ahead and do what he's telling you to do. Just do it. Because now, if he's telling you to do it, do it. But if you're just thinking, oh, I think I'll try this, don't try nothing with God. You really don't. See, I was going to use it to do you a little story on, but I decided I better not do that. But see, that God, he knew all along he wanted that rock there. He knew all along that he was wanting that rock, and he knew all along that people were going to get what they wanted when they stood. And people got healed standing on that rock that day. People started speaking in tongues. Some people got saved. I just stood there in awe, looking at God, what God was doing with a little simple rock. So, you know, you might stand in awe too at the little simple thing that God gives you to anoint for you to use to work for his kingdom. He might use your voice. He might anoint your voice. He could anoint anything. You just have to be willing to let him anoint. You have to be willing to just let go of what the enemy has told you and just do. We need to quit walking around here all bound up by what the enemy tells us we can't do. And we need to start stepping out and doing what God tells us we can do. All right? The body of Christ has lost her place of influence and power. Why? Because of a passive and poor stewardship of the giftings and talents. Many believers have heard the call of God, have sensed his grace of the unique giftings and talents in their lives. However, due to circumstances in life, over time, many have become jaded, discouraged, disillusioned, passive, lost their vision and passion concerning the very calling, giftings, and talents that he has given to them. We're going to read that again. The body of Christ has lost her place of influence and power because of a passive and poor stewardship of the giftings and talents. Many believers have heard the call of God, have sensed his grace on the unique giftings and talents in their lives. However, due to circumstances in life, over time, many have become jaded, discouraged, disillusioned, passive, lost their vision and passion concerning the very calling, giftings, and talents that he has given to them. Now, if you're one of those like I was, I want you to get off that little kick. And I want you to get back onto the things that God's calling you for to do. And I want you to allow God to use you mightily in every area that he's been using you before. But somehow or other, it just cooled off. Because God's setting a fire on our giftings. And he expects us to go forth in great might, great power, and let these giftings come forth and start doing the things he's calling us for to do. Now, if we wallowed in the mud long enough now, well, God, you know, I'm not worthy, so don't use me. Get out of here. That was just us wallowing in self-pity. Wasn't anything scriptural about it. Now we have to get out of that mode, and we have to get into the mode, God, you called me, you gifted me, you gave me talents, and now go ahead and use me. Amen. You put the scepter in my hand years ago, and I've laid that scepter down, but I want to pick it back up again, and I want to go forward doing everything you've called me forth to do. 2017 is a reset for a lot of people, not just chronologically, but spiritually as well. The Lord said at this point, I am going to speak to many concerning the giftings and talents that I have ordained over your life before you were born. See that? Before you were born. Many of you have felt my grace and anointing in those areas. Many of you have stewarded well, and I say well done, faithful ones. But many have stewarded poorly and have buried my giftings and talents over your life in the ground. You have been distracted and have lost the passion. You have been overcome by the cares of life that have shifted your focus and vision. But know this, my giftings are irrevocable. I am not taking back what I have given you. I am not going to breathe life into your giftings and talents that have been shelved, ignored. No, I am going to breathe life into your giftings and talents that have been shelved, ignored, neglected, and put on the back burner. I am going to, he said. I am resurrecting dreams and visions that you have buried. There is going to be spiritual realignment like a plumb line in the new year. I am going to orchestrate things in your life where your giftings and talents will be brought to the forefront from the background. Stop there. Some of you in here, you know that God has used you mightily in the past, but because you got into the funk, you know, and just felt like, well, what's the use? God didn't take your gifts, you just quit using them. And God, I'm hearing God say he wants you to relent tonight for getting there yourself. He didn't put you there. And he wants you to allow him to resurrect those gifts and those talents that you yourself have buried. Amen. And God's saying, so be intentional and be diligent. As you steward your giftings well, I will bring you into places of influence, favor, and promotion. I am going to place godly ones over the strategic leadership positions in the top of the mountains of influence in society. How many of you has he told, I'm going to send you to the nations? Revisit the things I have spoken over your life. Go back and think about what God said to you. For many of you, I'm restoring your voice to impact your environment where you have felt muffled. And I know has restored my voice where I've felt muffled. I am restoring power and strength over your life where you have felt defeated. He's doing that to me because I've felt defeated. But see, we have to be honest where we were so God can bring us to the place he wants us to be. But if we walk in total denial, then God can't do anything with us. We have to start allowing him to restore the old waste places. We have to allow him to come into us mightily, breathe upon those gifts and those talents, and then go forth and be used. No more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If God has called you, which he did, and you didn't get the drift of what he was calling you to do right away, and you messed up a couple times, forget about that. Forget about that because the enemy's going to try to keep reminding you of what you did. Forget about that and move on with God. There are a lot of things we did ignorantly. We were ignorant of what was the devil was doing in our life because he had us so caught up in the circumstances of life around about us. And then he just stepped in there and messed us up. But that's over with, right? We're no longer looking at our circumstances. And so therefore the enemy has no open door to come in. And we're just going to go ahead and walk in the fullness of what God has called us to walk in. All right, back to what God said. I am restoring power and strength over your life where you have been felt defeated. Mighty deeds will be done through many of your hands that will astound many, even yourself. And God's told me that many times. Pick up that rod of faith and watch the miracles I am about to do in and through your life in the new year. God has already begun to work signs, wonders, and miracles in this church. Now, we want to see, you know, somebody blind eye pop open or somebody come in here, you know, and have cancer and have it healed. And that's wonderful. And that's what God wants. But what he's doing the last couple of weeks is restoring our old waste places. He's restoring back to us the life and the vigor and the vitality that the enemy has stolen over the years. Now, when he can get us totally and completely restored, then you're going to see the blind eyes open. Then you're going to see the deaf hear. Then you're going to see miracles as people walk through the door. It, you know, I don't like to go back to where we were, but because God said, don't go back there because we're going to do greater works. But, you know, when people walked through the door, they were slaying the spirit and they had to pull them away from the door so people could come in. Now, I'm going to tell you, all that ceased. It just didn't cease in this building, but I'm just going to talk about this building. All that ceased is because I became defeated in my own mind. I know I heard God tell me what to do, and I did what I heard him tell me to do, but things didn't go the way I thought they would. You know, when God asks us to do something, we just think it's going to be all hunky-dory, right? And whenever it doesn't turn out hunky-dory, and whenever, you know, God told me exactly how things are going to turn out, but I still in all didn't, I guess I didn't believe him, because when it turned out the way he said, I was really devastated. And so in my devastation, then I said, all right, God, I don't want to be used. Because I must be messed up or this wouldn't be going on. But I wasn't messed up. The enemy tried to make me believe that because he saw that I was already torn down because I didn't understand what God was doing. And then he just kept heaping more and more and more on that till it had me covered. Are you understanding this? See, this is what he does to your life too. I'm not the only one he does that to. He just keeps, he'll get you down, and then he'll just start heaping a whole lot of junk on top of you. And next thing you know, you're covered with junk. And if you're not listening to God, you'll die. You'll suffocate there. But because I kept crying out to God and crying out to God, he didn't let me suffocate. He didn't let me die there. He uncovered me, brought me forth. And he told me, you're going to be greater in the end than you were in the beginning. And I believe my Father. And I already see that working. I already see that happening. And I know he's restored the anointing back into this church. And now I'm just watching for the signs, wonders, and miracles other than us being resurrected. I don't know about you, but moving with God is the most important thing in my life. Moving with the world is absolutely nothing. But moving with God is more important to me than anything in the world. And God will keep you. I don't care where you're at. God will keep you. A lot of people say, well, I just can't do that. No, you don't want to do that. God will keep you no matter where he has you. Now, if you're following God, you're where God wants you. And maybe it's not a good place. It's not a good place sometimes. No maybe to it. It's going to be a whole lot of bad places. But God placed you there because he knew that you were strong enough to carry that load. That assignment, I'll say assignment, carry that assignment. He told me one time, daughter, you're the only one that could carry this assignment. There wasn't anybody else around that could carry this assignment. So I gave it to you, knowing that you would be faithful to see it through. And then I said, well, why did you tell me what I was going to go through? He said, because you wouldn't have taken the assignment. He said, you wouldn't have been able to stand the pain. So I told you, walk one day at a time. Did I not? He did. But walking one day at a time was hard, you know. But God did resurrect. He did re-empower. And he'll do the same for you as he's done for me. So I'm asking each one of you to let go of the burden. Let go of your little, whatever you're holding on to, that the enemy's trying to make you believe you'll never go any further with God. Let go of it right now. Just drop it tonight. There's giftings inside of you that only you have. There's talents inside of you that only you have. And, you know, in this area, it's going to be hard to minister. You know, in this area, Delaware, it's going to be hard to minister until we decide, all right, we're stronger than the evil that's over Delaware. And when we decide we're stronger than the evil that's over Delaware, then we'll be able to break through that demonic atmosphere. And then the light will come into Delaware and God will be able to use the people the way he wants to. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being sent out of state for God's light to shine. I think it's time that God's light shines right here in this state. And I think it's time that we stand up like Paul. And it doesn't matter how persecuted we are, but we stand up and we face the enemy and we do the work that God is calling us for to do. God will send us in the laborers. He said, I will send you the laborers, and he will, to bring in the harvest. So all you have to do is take that one step of faith, and then God will do everything else. I do this every day. I take that one step of faith, and God's always there to meet me. He's always there to encourage. He's always there to lift up. And he's always there to, you can feel the gifts stirring inside of you. And, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, God starts using you like he used to use you. And you think, wow. And it isn't because God quit. It's because I quit. So it isn't because God quit. It's because you quit. You just no longer pursued those giftings. You no longer pressed forward. You just sort of sit down. And remember, God told us a couple years ago that the church has gone into a state of lethargy. And he had to get us out of that lethargic state before he could use us. So are you out of that lethargic state? Are you in a place of, I'm hearing God say, a place of promotion where he can use you now and you won't allow the enemy to stop you? If you're in that place, what God wants you to do is he wants you to come up here and he wants to anoint you. And I want to, before you come up there, I want to tell you this, you know, I used to always stand down there and touch the people, you know, and release the anointing into them. And when I went into my state of whatever it was, I wouldn't do that no more. Here was my excuse that I used for not doing that. I want you all to know it's God touching you, not me. That was a hard thing for me to come to grips with, and God showed me what I did. He said, that was an escape route for you because you was afraid that when you touched the people, they wouldn't receive anything. He said the enemy had you believe and you had nothing to give. And I thought about that, and you know what? He's absolutely right. That is what happened. And I did use it as an escape route. Because I said, I want you all to know it's God touching you. And because I knew God would show up. I just know my Father. But I wasn't sure he'd show up if I touched you. Are you understanding this? So don't you go there. Don't you do what I did. If God is going to touch them, he's going to touch them. If they don't want to be touched, then he can't touch them. It doesn't matter if you lay hands on them or if you just say, you know, raise your hands, God's going to touch you. The people either receive or they don't. You have nothing to do with this. God gave you the gifts. He gave you the talents. He breathed his fire, holy fire, on them. And he works through you. All right. So the altar is open now. If you want him to breathe new life on your gifts and your talents. And I'm going to tell you something. From this day forward, don't you ever back down from allowing God to use your hands. Allow God to use you in a mighty way. People are lost and dying out there because we have refused to use our hands. And I just want to share something else. You know, as I was putting this together, God showed me one thing. You know, when the fire and the anointing was here so strong, I would just look at somebody and I said, stand up and raise your hands, and they'd go out in the spirit. He said, how do you think they did that? He said, my holy angels were there and knocked them down. You know, so he's the same today as he was yesterday, and his holy angels are here, and those angels will knock you down. And when an angel of God knocks you down, you know you've been touched. Come on, it's not a hard thing. Just give yourself over to God right now. When I tell you, men, touch these people, what happens? God touches them, doesn't he? Works through you. Has nothing to do with you. It's your gifts and your talents. It comes from God and the power and authority that you have in Jesus Christ.